Okay, so you probably kind of picked up just a little bit of some of the themes that we were dealing with this past week in our Holiday Bible Club. I just want to spend just a few minutes now going through, I guess, a little bit more detail about some of the things that the children were learning about. And our theme was Mission Impossible. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Mission Impossible films or the TV series from many years ago. I mean, if you're honest, none of the missions were actually impossible, were they? Because, of course, they actually did them. And so it's more like kind of mission quite tricky or mission very, very difficult, wasn't it? But they weren't actually impossible. But what we were thinking about this past week was things which actually are completely impossible for a normal human being to do. And we were teaching the children four different accounts from the Bible of when Jesus did something which actually would normally be totally impossible for anybody else. So on our first day, and you've heard this mentioned already, we looked at the fact that Jesus turns water into wine. Okay, we have water, which is nice, but kind of a fairly sort of bland flavour, unless you get one of those bottles where they put a bit of lemon in it. I never quite see the point of that. You've got lemonade. What's the point of having water with a bit of lemon? But that's just me. But you have water, which is quite bland. You have wine, which is full of flavour. In our group on Tuesday, we did some taste testing, not using wine, just for the record. We gave them some water and some apple juice, and we said, you know, do they taste the same? Are they the same thing? No, of course they're not. Two completely different types of drink. Water, apple juice, we had some milk as well. Two different kind of things. Now, a few hundred years ago, people tried to turn lead or other kind of metals into gold. That would be a great thing to do if we could do it, wouldn't it? Okay, ordinary metal, transform it, change it into gold. But they could never do it. Because you can't change one thing into something else. That's what we learned. It is impossible. But Jesus did it. He turned water into wine. And we taught them that story on that first day of our Holiday Bible Club. We just said to get that whole idea into our kids' minds that actually Jesus can do things that no one else can do. And that would help them to understand all the rest of the stories that we're going to be teaching them as well. On our second day, we looked at the fact that Jesus managed to feed 5,000 people. Now, if you just look at those words on the screen, that probably doesn't sound hugely impressive. Okay, it is quite a large number of people, but Jesus feeds 5,000 people. But the Bible says that Jesus fed 5,000 people with, what was it again? What was it? What did he do?
5 loaves of bread.
5, that's right, I remember now. Yes, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, that is impressive, isn't it? Have you ever had that kind of occasion? And I do apologise for this. I looked at this picture earlier and it made me really, really hungry. So I do apologise if it makes your stomach start to rumble. Look at that pizza, that's lovely. And you've made some food, perhaps, and you kind of get to the point and you think to yourself, you know, I'm not sure whether the food I've made is actually going to go round all the people. And if it's pizza, of course, a little trick you can do is, of course, to slice the slice, isn't it, a little bit smaller, a little bit thinner. If you're a man like me, we don't fall for that kind of trick. Okay, if you're going to try and slice them thinner, we will take the required number of slices to make it up to a proper one. Okay, so it doesn't work with guys. But you know, you try and make the food go round as many people as you can. Now, imagine getting that pizza to feed 500 people, let alone 5,000 people. But Jesus fed a crowd actually of over 5,000 people, because there were 5,000 men, there were also women and children as well, and he did it with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Now, that is impossible. Okay, he didn't just take little crumbs and little bits off and try and sort of spread it around people. Everyone ate so much that they were totally satisfied. You know what it's like after a Sunday lunch, and you've had your Sunday lunch, and you're sitting down on the Sunday afternoon, and you are satisfied, and you are happy, and you may fall asleep possibly as well. But it is good, and you've had enough to eat. That is how it was with these people. This massive crowd of people who had been out the entire day, it was getting towards the evening, and they were hungry, and Jesus feeds them. And this shows us not only that Jesus has the power to do amazing, impossible things, but also how much he actually cares for people's needs. Jesus really cares for people. He looks out at this crowd and he sees this is what they need. They're hungry. They've been out all day. You know, they need some food. They're tired. I'm going to provide that food for them. And that is what he does. No one else could do it. That's the whole point, really, of our little secret agent sketches that we had each day. Was a secret agent coming on, trying to do an impossible mission, trying to do the things that Jesus himself did, and very quickly finding out that actually it was impossible for any ordinary person to do that. Now, on the third day, we looked at the fact that Jesus forgives sins, and that was a really important day and an important lesson for us to learn. The thing is, for us, is that we often have this desire, maybe, to do things that we know that we shouldn't, or to maybe disobey certain laws that we know that we should really be obeying. Oh, I've got the wrong angle here. There we go. So, seagulls. And we know there are certain things that we shouldn't be doing, and yet we do them anyway. And that's a big problem for us, because when we do that, that actually hurts God. And what we learn on the third day is that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And there was a guy, and he had four friends, and the four friends took him to a house. And how did they get into the house? Someone's already said it. How did they get into the house? Yes, back. Through the roof. That's right, they made a hole in the roof. If you're not sure how they could have made a hole in the roof, have a chat with Paul later on. He's been to Israel, he's seen the kind of houses, and how easy it is actually to break a hole in and be able to sort of let someone down. And the person, this guy, is put down in front of Jesus. And the reason why he's been let down is because he can't actually walk. And he's let down in front of Jesus, and he's standing there lying there, and he's waiting for Jesus to say the words, "Hey, you can walk again." That's what he wants to hear from Jesus. But Jesus actually says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." That's actually the biggest need that that man really had. And I'll say to the kids in my group, the thing about having your sins forgiven is that your body doesn't change. There's no sort of physical transformation when your sins are forgiven. So you don't suddenly turn purple, okay, if your sins are forgiven. You don't suddenly grow 2 meters extra in height. You look at the person, they look exactly the same. So how can you actually know that you've been forgiven for all the wrong stuff that you've done? How do we know that Jesus has the power to do that? Well, Jesus proved it by then saying, "Get up, take your mat, and walk." Jesus basically said, look, if you want to know that I really can forgive people, and you really want to trust that I can do that, then I will show you what else I can do. And if you can see that with your own eyes and believe that, then believe that I can forgive as well. And so Jesus says to him, get up, take your mat, and go home. And what happens? What happens? Who's there? Remember what happened? Yes.
He does it.
He does it, doesn't he? That's right. He gets up and he can walk again. Because Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And this tells us something really, really important about Jesus. Because there were some people sitting there in that room when Jesus was saying those words, and they were saying, hold on a minute, there's only one person who can forgive sins. And who was that? Can you remember? Who did we say? Who's that one person who can forgive sins? Yeah. God, that's right. And they're saying, hold on a minute, if only God can do that, then how can Jesus now be sitting there and he can now be saying those words? How is that possible? But that teaches us who Jesus really is. That Jesus is the Son of God and has all the power and the authority of God himself. See, the thing is, we often look at the Bible perhaps and we think, this book is full of things which are impossible. Therefore, the book can't be right. It can't be true. It's impossible to turn water into wine. It's impossible to feed that many people with that little food. Therefore, if these things are impossible, then the Bible can't be right. It can't be true. But actually, we need to look at things the other way around and say, well, hold on a minute. Who is Jesus? Because if Jesus is who he claims to be, then actually nothing is impossible for him. And in fact, if we're going to have someone who's going to come and say, I am the Son of God, we would actually expect, wouldn't we, him to do things that nobody else could do. And that's what we see in the Bible. Jesus does the impossible because of who he is. So our big question becomes then, who do we think Jesus is? Who is he? And the Bible tells us that very clearly. Now finally, there's the angle. Day four, Jesus is alive. Okay, we looked at the fact that on a Friday, Jesus died on the cross, and on the Sunday, by the Sunday, he had risen again from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but when you talk about something being impossible, it's not kind of really possible. for something to be more impossible than something else. Do you know what I'm saying? Something's either possible or it's impossible. So you said no. So you can't have something, you're going to have a range of impossibility. Okay, so you can't say, oh, that is much more impossible than that other impossible thing. It's either impossible or it's possible. And so all the things we've looked at this morning, they're all impossible. And Jesus dying and coming back to life, that is impossible for people like us. But knowing that Jesus is alive, knowing that he died and he rose again, is actually so, so important. You know, we could have taught all the kids all these different miracles that Jesus did. And, you know, in one sense, we could have left out the bit about Jesus turning water into wine. And it wouldn't, on one level, have made any difference to what they would have learned about Jesus. We told them about all different other miracles, but we hadn't told them about that one. Or if we taught them about all these other miracles, but we hadn't mentioned Jesus feeding the 5,000. In one sense, they wouldn't have missed out on knowing a certain thing about Jesus, if he'd never done that. But if you miss out Jesus being alive, if you say, well, no, I don't believe that is true, or if you say, I don't think Jesus ever did that, then actually you miss out on something which is absolutely vital and is so, so important. Because when Jesus died, he didn't die just because the Romans didn't like him and other people didn't like him. He died to save us, to forgive us, so that we can be forgiven of all the wrong stuff that we think and that we say and that we do. That's why he died. And he died to take the punishment that we deserve for the bad stuff that we do. And the question is then, well, how do we know that when Jesus did that on the cross, that actually has done what it's meant to have done? How do we know then that we are actually forgiven? Well, the fact that on that Sunday morning, the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, and Jesus' body is no longer there, not because it's been taken or anything like that, but because he is alive. For that reason, we know that what Jesus did on the cross, basically, it worked. And it means that we, through Jesus, through trusting in him, we too can know what it is to be forgiven. And actually, that is the greatest need that each one of us have. Because we can all look back over our life, and even from a youngest child, and say, I've done stuff I shouldn't have done. I've said stuff I shouldn't have said. I've thought stuff I shouldn't have been thinking about others. And perhaps we wish there's a few things that we could really take back and which we had never, ever done. What Jesus says is we can be cleansed from that guilty conscience. That guilt can be removed from us. We can know real forgiveness through faith in the Lord Jesus. And really what we wanted for the kids to know this week, what we want you to know this morning, is that Jesus is alive. He's a real person. He really did do these amazing, seemingly impossible things because of who he is. But we also want you to think things through and examine things for yourself. You know, never just sort of believe something because someone else says it to you, whoever that may be. But actually to use brains and minds and to examine actually what the Bible has to say, because that's a really, really important thing to do. We run a course here at church called Question of Faith. It runs for 5 weeks. It's starting in October, which gives people the opportunity to ask any question they want about the Christian faith, about the Bible, about, you know, how can you say this? How can you believe that? What does the Bible mean when it says this? Whatever the question may be, you can come and ask that. And there's also some other things that we look at as well. And if you're interested in going on that, then please do speak to me later on. It's free, and I always say as well that cream cakes are provided too. If that in any way sways your decision, I don't know. Healthy alternatives are also available, I have to say. But do come along and just think things through and say, actually, is there something to this Jesus person? Is there something to what it says in the Bible about him? Who is he? Do I really know who he is? Because I tell you, what we've learned this week is that Jesus, he does amazing things, but at the same time, he cares so deeply for people. And that's why he was willing to come and to die for us and then be raised to life so that we might know that forgiveness of sins is possible through Jesus. We're going to sing a final song before we finish, and then I said afterwards there's going to be some refreshments served in the back hall, so make sure you grab a tea and a coffee and some biscuits as well. Thank you, children.